Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Kate Abel.
Today I'm going to talk to you about journeys. I really like maps. I like actually having a physical map where you can see where you're going. Okay? I hate sat navs. I hate it because they just keep telling me things. Yeah? I mean, what right has that woman to tell me where to go? That is a part of my issue, and I do need it working on. I appreciate that. But the big joy in my life is actually going a different way to the sat-nav and confusing it and it having to catch up to realise how brilliant I am and that I did know where I was going. Because I make some ninja choices. I'm completely against the stereotype of females because actually I can read a map really well. Always have. Love maps. And the funniest... Well, Paul won't think it's funny, but I find it funny. When we're going anywhere in Scarborough, he gets the vibe. Guys, you know when you get the vibe in a car. And he turns to me and says, "You wouldn't have gone this way, would you?" Because in Scarborough, there's always so many different ways to go, isn't it? And he always goes very peculiar ways. But anyway, so I'm going to talk to you about journeys. And we're all on our own journeys, and we're on a corporate journey together as a family. And a community. And sometimes we feel like we're on the map and we've got it, and other times we can feel we're a bit lost and we've taken a wrong turn somewhere. Now, last time I spoke to you, I shared part of my recent journey about coming out of the Valley of Ono and about I got into this valley that I shouldn't have gone into. I got into a valley where God didn't choose for me to go, but where, when I was there, he said to me, "Okay, Kate, this is where you're at. Let's slog this out together. And as we're walking out of this together, I'm going to teach you who I am for you. And I'm going to teach you how unique and how special you are to me." We all know, we all feel like we know God in good times. He's the chum in the sky. But he's not. He's Lord. And he's master and he's king. And in our best of times, he shows us his best. And in our worst of times, he showed us his best. He is faithful, loving, and compassionate, proving to us daily, through the ups and the downs of all our lives, that he is still the same, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forever. And he adores us, he's passionate about us, we please him, we're important to him. And his will, purpose, and destiny for the journey of our lives is good and secure. So we don't need to worry. We don't need to shy away from it. We don't need to fear it. So, journeys. Can we lose our way? Can we miss it? Chris Fallerton from Bethel said something a few weeks ago that really captured my thoughts. He said that God doesn't have plans for our lives. Now, I know a load of you will be turning to this next verse in the NIV that says, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Jeremiah 29:11. But in the King James Version, it says this: "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expectant end." So Chris said, he doesn't have plans, he has purposes. Or plans can be interpreted as thoughts, will, or intentions. So it could read, "For I know the intentions I have for you, declares the Lord. My will is to prosper you and not to harm you. My thoughts are to give you a hope and a future." But is it important? Is it just semantics? Is it just interpretation? But it captured my thoughts because I began to see that you can't miss it. You can't fail completely and choose the wrong way and end up in a dead end and get the plan so wrong that you start living a second best plan for your life. Because Father God never turns to Jesus and the Holy Spirit and says, "Yikes, guys. We had such awesome plans for that one, but Have you seen their life? Have you seen the choices they've made? Have you seen the mistakes they've made? They've messed up. They've took the wrong turn. Look, there's no way back. Oh well, shucks. Never mind. Next. He doesn't do that. Father God knows his thoughts towards you, his thoughts and intentions to prosper your life and to see you succeed. A purpose of hope and future destiny. And he allows us to co-labour and plan with him to see that purpose worked out. So, when we take a wrong turn, as we all do, when we don't blow the purpose. We might have messed up a plan, but we don't blow the purpose. We don't miss the boat. And God's purpose just may take a little longer or a lot longer to be worked out because of the choices we've made and the detours we've allowed ourselves to go on. But God allows those detours to mould and to change us. And we need to learn how to encourage ourselves in that growing process and in that detours that we take. So in that difficult time, in that wilderness experience, in that alternative route, in that valley of Ono, because your loving, faithful, consistent, compassionate, contending Father God is growing you during that time into the person who will be able to handle the future purposes he has for you. Character is earned through discipline, endurance, self-sacrifice, and patience. But character can't be bypassed. We need it. Not so we have a hard time, but so we grow and we mature and we can carry the call of God and the purpose of God that he's put on our lives, and it doesn't destroy us or overwhelm us. The call of God on our lives is huge. It's massive. It's immeasurable. Our destinies are limitless because it was designed by the limitless one. And who has amazing thoughts, desires, will and intentions and purposes for each one of us. And he certainly isn't bound or controlled or limited by our thoughts or dreams or by our wrong turns or wrong decisions. I was going to say at the beginning that Jem always has she's got a reputation of, you know, having a Disney clip. And I thought I'd like to start a reputation. And so I was going to go on to Sunday school songs, as I shared one last time. And my Sunday school song for today, by the way, is "My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing, nothing my God cannot do." So my bad decisions doesn't change God's purposes for my life. I might mess up a plan, but the purpose is true. So I can't destroy God's purposes through my wrong choices, by my sin or my disobedience, if I come back to him in repentance. Remember, repentance is turning away. Turning away from what you thought was right to what God thinks was right. So, today if you're sitting there and you're thinking, I've blown it, I've made some mistakes. No, you haven't. You haven't blown it if you've come back to him. If you haven't quit, you haven't blown it. Right. Okay. I've just lost a load of my talk. That wasn't helpful. Okay, I'll make it up as I go along. We know this from the story of the Israelites in the desert. You know, a journey that should have only taken a couple of weeks. You know, it took 40 years. You know, I'm thinking, was God's plan, A, that they actually did it in 2 weeks? I don't know. But even if they did plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D, plan E, they did his purpose. They inherited the promised land. And okay, people were changed in that 40 years. Some people had to die in that 40 years to allow the rest of the company and the nation to go forward. But I don't think it was God's real plan for them to spend so long in the desert. I kind of wonder about Moses too. I wonder what his plan was for his retirement. He was 80 years old. I'm probably thinking about taking it a bit easy. Probably thinking, you know, get the kids to do a bit more work. Find a nice spot for his tent. Look after a few sheep and goats. Have some chilling half days. Eat a lot of hummus, you know. I imagine this is a good plan for an 80-year-old to have. I don't think he imagined for one second or planned to have the courage to go back into Egypt, to stand up to a king, to bring out a nation, to lead 3 million people, quite difficult some of them too, across a wilderness into a promised land. I think Moses was pretty content with his sheep and his life at that time. Life for him had been difficult in the past. I mean, he'd had an amazing birth where he was saved and protected as a baby. And he'd been brought up in a palace of wealth and education and privilege. But it had all gone wrong and he'd run away from Egypt. But after 40 years of living in the desert, I think he's quite enjoying the status quo. He's pretty happy and set in his ways and comfortable. So when he met God in the burning bush, it was just a normal day for him looking after sheep. Probably wondering what's for tea. More hummus, probably. But it was a huge challenge that God gave him to go on a different journey and a new journey. And we find the encounter in Exodus 3:4. It says, "When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here I am.'" I love that. It says, "When the Lord saw." In the message, it says, "When the Lord saw, he stopped to look." And in the NIV, it says, "When the Lord saw, he'd gone over to look." And the New Living says, "When the Lord saw, he had caught Moses' attention." God loves to get our attention. When we turn aside from our busyness, when we turn aside through the ordinariness of our day, when we turn aside from our own agendas or normality, when we make space on our journey, when we pause and we draw breath and we choose to listen, he speaks to us and he gives us direction. And he can use events, good, bad, ugly, and indifferent, along our journey to grab our attention. And these are precious listening and pondering times. So, once Moses' attention had been grabbed, God continued in Exodus 3. I'm going to read 7-8. "The Lord said, 'I have surely seen the afflicted of my people who are in Egypt, and I have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and spacious land, to the land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and loads of otherites.'" Moses must have thought, "Cool, about time, God. Go get them." And how many times do we say that to God? "Come on, God, you do it. You do it, God." But God went on in Exodus 3:10. "Therefore, come now, I will send you." I think Moses must have been, "What? What happened to, I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians?" "But therefore, come now, I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israelite, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt?" And he said, "Certainly I will be with you, and this shall be a sign to you, that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. I don't think Moses thought it was a good plan and that he was suitable for that job. He didn't want to go to Pharaoh and bring out the sons of Israel out. And I think it was interesting that the sign that God gave him that he was going to succeed was that he was going to end up right where he was. I guess it was a promise that he'd survive and get back. But don't you hate it when God seems to take you back and you're back at the same spot where you've been and you think, I'm just back here again. I was here 6 months ago. I was here 2 years ago. But the difference was Moses came back to where he was standing, but he thought he brought 3 million people with him. And your journey makes a difference, not just to you, but to others. And when you feel you're just back where you started, you have grown, you have moved on, and so have those around you. So, poor old Moses then starts to moan about it. We get to Exodus 4:10, and it says, "Then Moses said to the Lord, 'Please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue.'" Moses certainly saw himself as a poor communicator, and he tried to excuse himself out of God's purposes and journey that he'd chosen for him. I don't think he saw himself as a specialised, dedicated, ambassadorial, crisis hostage negotiator, or even a superhero rescuer. But God didn't listen to his excuses. He knew the thoughts he had had for Moses. He knew the real Moses, the Moses that not even Moses knew. He knew he was a leader of nations. He knew he was a strong, articulate speaker. And he knew he could stand up to a king and a whole nation. God doesn't listen to our excuses or worry about us taking a wrong turn. He knows the thoughts he has about and for each one of us. And he knows the real us, even when we don't know it yet. But we need to leave our comfort zones, like Moses did. We need to leave our normality. We need to go against the flow, step out along our journey, not waiting for the whens. You know the whens. The whens are when I'm older, when I'm married, when I'm clever enough, when the children are older, when I'm thinner, when I'm richer, when I'm more eloquent, when I'm more successful. We get bound by whens. And God calls us to take off the safety wheels and just have a go, because he's going with you. It's been great the last couple of weeks seeing Elizabeth riding her bikes without her stabilizers on. It took about an hour for her to actually do it, and she had some crashes, and she ended up in some hedges, and she had some difficulties, but she persevered. She endured, she had patience, and she succeeded. And she not only earned huge amounts of pride and admiration for those who love her, but she felt joy, self-worth, excitement, pride, delight, and freedom riding without her stabilizers. Taking our stabilizers off can seem very daunting. Leaving your comfort zone can be very intimidating. But remember the definitions of courage and compassion and connection I gave you. We're going to look at them again. Courage. Courage is from the root Latin word cor, meaning heart. Telling the whole story of who you are with your whole heart. So having the courage to be imperfect. Having the courage to miss the route and end up on a detour. But being wholehearted and willing to turn up. Giving it a go. Sharing yourself and your journey, practicing connection, being emotionally intelligent enough to be that self-aware, self-regulating person. And compassion. The definition of compassion was to suffer with. So practicing compassion is daring. It involves learning to relax and allow yourself to move gently towards what's scaring you. Moving towards that scary situation. Moving towards your future. Moving towards your journey. Or it can mean moving towards that person who's scaring you with their fear, anger, hurt, coldness, judgment, or harshness. But we need to move forward. Reaching out in love and gentleness when your emotions and your reasoning is screaming something entirely indifferent. That's compassion. And connection. Connection, I love this definition, is the energy that exists between people when they feel seen, heard, and valued. When they can give and receive without judgment. And when they derive sustenance and strength from the relationship. And that's the sort of connection Father God has with us. And journeying with Him and allowing Him to take you off the map, off the roads that you've travelled before, brings joy, self-worth, excitement, pride, delight, freedom, and limitless possibilities. A life lived worthy of the Lord. These next verses God gave me actually when Jen first told me she was pregnant with Elizabeth. But they're good verses for all of us. And it's from Colossians 1, 9 to 12. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully give thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. So when we're qualified, why aren't we taking our stabilizers off? We've already qualified. Why aren't we going off the map, forward into our journeys? I think sometimes it is because we get too comfortable. Sometimes we're living in our whens and thinking, when that happens, I'll do it. Sometimes we want to see the whole map laid out before us. You know, what is God's will for my life? And we're frozen and paralyzed till we know it. We don't want to follow God's small voice of direction or actually knowing what the heart of God is through the scriptures. We really know what His word has said to us. And we don't want to be responsible enough to work it out ourselves and walk forward into the unknown and find our own way. Or we're paralyzed by fear and anxiety and insecurity, thinking that we're going to make the wrong choice or we're going to miss it and we'll miss the plan that God has for us and we're going to be left high and dry. But God is far more sat-nav than map. He doesn't leave us battling with it. Come on, you remember the big ones we used to have. And once you'd opened it up, putting it back was just a nightmare. And turning it upside down to get your rights from your left proper. My mum used to do that. I never understood it. But she found it easier. But God isn't like that. He doesn't leave us battling with the map by ourselves. He is the sat-nav. He is the small voice. He is the one saying, turn this way. That's good. And when you've got it wrong, He just brings you back on map. He's quite able to recalculate, you know, and get us back on track by speaking simply and clearly to us, either through others or through directly from Him. I'm sure sometimes He says to us, when it is safe, turn around. When it is safe, turn around. Like my sat-nav does. Well, sometimes we don't do it, we don't take the stabilizers off, because we simply just get distracted by other things. I love this quote by C.S. Lewis. It says, "The enemy always sends distractions in pairs, and he relies on our extreme dislike for the one to propel us towards the other." Have you noticed how the enemy loves to distract? You think, right, I'll go and pray or read your Bible. Then suddenly, you suddenly realise you need to vacuum. You know, there's some bits on the carpet that need doing, or you really just need to catch up on the news to see what's happening in the world. Or, you know, we're so easily distracted. And the enemy loves to encourage us to wear either of two extremes of distraction lenses. And these lenses that we wear distort and warp how we see God and his purposes for us, and how we view church and our friendships and others around us, and how we view ourselves and our lives and our futures. And when we're wearing these lenses, we can't see God for who he really is, and we can't see ourselves for who we are in Christ or hope for our future. And I was thinking about lenses, and I'd put them in two cases. I've called one set a burning lens. And burning lenses, I feel we sometimes wear, are ambition or pride or performance or drive or perfection and pretension, self-sufficiency and independence, and an attitude of, I can do this by myself. But we also can put on frozen lenses of fear and apathy, laziness, judgment, hopelessness, shame, discouragement, a victim mentality, condemnation and failure, uselessness, an orphan mentality, and an attitude of, God can't do anything through me or for me. And we need to learn how to walk in a healthy balance between those two, and between those two extremes, and stop, keep pendulum swinging one from the other. Because God has an exciting, limitless destiny and journey for each one of us to enjoy. But it's a lens and a stabilizer's free zone. Two quotes to finish. George Seam said, "Success means having the courage, the determination, and the will to become the person you believe you were meant to be." Success means having the courage, the determination, the will to become the person you believe you were meant to be. Maybe as Christians we could say, success means having the courage, the determination, and the will to become the person God believes you were meant to be. Elizabeth on her bike had the determination and the will and the courage to become the person that can ride a bike without stabilizers. What things are God actually asking us to do? Because he's going to give us that courage. So you turn up wholeheartedly, giving you that courage to be imperfect. And he's going to give you the will to do what he's called you to do, as he did with Moses, as he did even with Elizabeth, in just that story of her riding her bike. Just in the practical things, in the spiritual things, he's there for us. So what person is God calling you to be? What person does God believe you are? Another one by George is, it's very hard in the beginning to understand that the whole idea is not to beat the other runners. Eventually you learn that the competition is against the little voice inside you that wants you to quit. That's how you fail, by quitting. You don't fail by messing up the plan. If you're on plan A, plan B, plan X, Y, Z, it doesn't matter. God's purposes are true and will succeed. But it's the voice inside our heads that we fight that tells us to quit. Jesus was a finisher. He was really motivated by finishing. In John 4:34, Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me to finish his work." I got this verse as I went to Bible college. I was a bit disappointed at the time because I kind of wanted something a bit more, you know, I don't know, powerful. I mean, people at Bible college came with, "I am a prophet to the nations," that God had said to them. They weren't, by the way. Well, no, sorry. They haven't become yet. 20 years later. But actually, as I look back at this verse, I'm really pleased God gave it to me. "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." And with my iPad Hebrew ninja skills that you all know about, I rewrote it a little bit. And I wrote it like this. My sustenance, what I desire, crave, and work for, is to do the gracious pleasure of him who sent me. And to complete and accomplish, i.e., make perfect by reaching the intended goal, his labour. So this journey that I'm on, this journey that you're on, that's what we need to do. We just need to reach the intended goal. We all want to go linear, don't we? We want to go straight as we can. But nobody ever does. Our whole lives are taking wrong turns and detours, okay? But not quitting means you make it. Not quitting, you reach the intended goal. You finish what he's called you to finish. Obviously, on John 19:30, the other famous thing that Jesus said, it is finished. He loves finishing. He loves it when we finish. Victory over the enemy comes from finishing. Doesn't matter how long it took. You persevered, you endured, you finished. It comes by contending and not being distracted or knocked off course. By not quitting on our journey because we took a wrong route and we think, well, that's it now. There's no hope for me. It's about keeping going, listening to the sat-nav, listening to that small voice, being redirected into the path that God was called for your life. It's only by quitting the journey or sitting down in the rubble of negativity that we fail. Because there's no wasted circumstances. God teaches so much through every circumstance we go through. Keep our eyes on God. He is our source and our food and our focus. God designed before creation what he was going to accomplish through your life. That's amazing. God decided before creation what he was going to accomplish through your life. Ephesians 2:10. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So why are you so scared that you've blown it? Why are you so worried that you might make a wrong choice or miss the boat or miss the plan he has for you? He created it. He designed it. He thought about it. He intended what he was going to do for you before the creation of the world. So that's why I think Chris says he doesn't think God has plans for you. He has a purpose. And that purpose holds fast. And sometimes it'll take us 2 weeks to get there, and other times it'll take us 40 years. But we will get there if we keep going. If we keep our eyes focused on him. And we don't quit. Thank you. Would you like to stand? And I'm just going to pray, and then you can go and cook your dinner. Thank you. Father, I thank you for your great love. I thank you for your purpose for each one of us, your intentions for each one of us, and for us corporately as a family of God. Father, I just lift up to you in your loving kindness those who may feel they've blown it, those that may feel that they've made wrong choices. Father, show them quite clearly that they're not living a second best plan, and that your purpose for them was prepared before creation, and you are leading them onwards in their journey towards that purpose. Your intention and your will and your thoughts towards them are good. They're perfect and pleasing for their good, for their hope and for their future. Father, help us to hear your voice, your directions. Give us the courage to take the stabilizers off, to leave our comfort zone and just to go for it. Guard our hearts and our minds from those distracting lenses we sometimes put on. We want to see you as you really are. And we want to see ourselves as you see us, the real us, the us we could be. Father, I thank you that you've put us within a church family to journey together. Help us to support and encourage and champion one another. Teach us daily how to live in love and authenticity, in worthiness, courage, vulnerability, compassion and connection. Father, I thank you for the amazing adventure you're taking us on. Thank you for that old age truth that you are so big, so strong, so mighty. There's nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing you cannot do in us and through us when you have purposed it. We can't blow it when we come back in repentance to you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.